Blog Talk Radio.
Recorded live. You know, I keep doing that, but that was Talk Show doing that. I can't. Was that Talk Show that, or was that Now Live? Now Live, or somebody always said recorded live.
That must be Now Live.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, that.
Welcome everyone. Yeah.
We're on live, and I totally missed it. Okay. Let me. You know, I never did the edit on this, but I'm gonna play it anyway. So this is the old version of last week's intro. So let's try this.
Welcome to the call-in talk show that is all about wine, with special guest Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery, located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Winery details and event information will be announced during the show. So sit back, relax, and join us with a cool glass of world-class wine produced right here in Florida. Your comments, questions, and dialogue are welcome. Registered users of Blog Talk Radio can call for free by using the Click to Talk button on our show page, or send questions and comments in our chat room. Registration on Blog Talk Radio is free and only takes a minute. All other listeners may call us by phone. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Tampa listeners may call our local number by dialing area code 813-990-0741. That's 813-990-0741. Finally, if you have Skype, call the show by contacting ChicoDog1. That's DAWG and the number 1. Call us anytime during this hour-long program. It's all about wine. And now, from Florida Estates Winery, here's Ron.
And they're back.
And then we got our car back, right?
Yes. Under these... Hey, sorry, I had to open up the bottle.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Toast. Yes. Yeah, under the rainy sky that we have here in the Tampa, Florida area, it's we have the seats, all the chairs are out front, and everybody is enjoying their complimentary wine, and everything is great. So it's wonderful. And then we have the inside studio. Yes, about 12 people there, but everybody's here and we're ready to start the. They just don't know when to stop sometimes. some things we want to talk about event-wise, and we'll get on with the show. The show tonight is about Merlot, and Ron is with us from the Florida Estates Winery, located in or near Land O'Lakes, Florida, off of State Road 52, 4 miles west of Interstate 75, and we'll have more information on that as we go along. And Ron, it's all yours. We're set to go.
And we're all set. Merlot. We're going to talk about the Merlot grape today, and about a little of the history of the Merlot and the taste of the Merlot and where it's grown, and all sorts of goodies about the Merlot grape, just to fill people in. It's a very popular grape. Merlot is an extremely popular wine. Merlots are made in all sorts of styles. I want to clarify this at first. I have lots of people come into the winery stating that, I love Merlot, or, I don't really like Merlot. And, you know, it's such a blanket statement. I always tend to correct them, or want to correct them, stating that, you know, there are so many different styles of Merlot. To say that you don't like a Merlot, obviously you haven't had an opportunity to taste one that you have found that you do like. Merlots can be made to age for hundreds of years. There are Merlots that are so full of tannins and so dry that under the correct conditions and the right size bottles and everything, you can put them away and 100 years later, 200 years later, open up the bottle and still have a great tasting wine.
Wow.
They, on the other end of the scale, they make white Merlots, which is the same as a white Zinfandel, same style and same type of process as a white Zinfandel. Lighter, fruitier, almost tend to be sweeter. Not really, but compared to Merlots, it tends to be sweet. Again, I refer back to the fact that sweet is the opposite of dry. If a wine is not dry, then it tends to be sweet. And if it's sweet, we know what that is. We know the taste of that. Dry being the absence of sweet. So Merlots usually are in the drier style. again, except for the white Merlots, which tend to be a little bit sweeter. But overall, when you speak of a Merlot, you're usually speaking of a dry red wine. And Merlots are red wines. The color of the grape is a black grape, a very dark grape. Merlot is also called a Picard or Langoon, which different areas have different names that they've came up with over the years. There's other names that have worked their way into the system with Merlot, and I can try to pronounce them for you. I will probably be wrong. If anyone out there knows the correct pronunciation, I am more than willing to listen. But Merlot is also known as a Petit Merlot. That's spelled M-E-R-L-E, a Vitrelle, a Bigny, B-I-G-N-E-Y, or a Crabute Noir. That's C-R-A-B-U-T-E-T-N-O-I-R, Crabute Noir. All basically different names of Merlot. Most grapes you will find around the world will have different names, will also be called different things, simply because areas start to grow them and find that they grow well in that area, don't know that it is another grape, and they will call them their own names, what they come up with. And as the years have passed, and as we have developed genetic testing of grapes and their heritage and lifeline, where they came from, then we're able to find that a lot of these other grapes that we are commonly called what they were in those areas are now really the grapes that we know more often as a Merlot or any other grape, which might be the case. Merlots are basically grown just about everywhere in the world. You can now, a Merlot is really a pretty common grape. You can find the Merlot being grown probably more commonly in the major areas of Bordeaux region of France, Napa Valley, Sonoma County, California, and Chile, Central Valley. Australia grows a lot of Merlots. The Paso Robles in Central California is really strong on Merlot grows now. The Merlot grape is a easy growing grape. It soil that best grows for the Merlot is the clay soil. One that will hold a little bit of water, but not too much. It usually has medium tannins, not real heavy. If you just take the Merlot itself and you process it with the skin and seeds to get your tannins, it's not going to age for a real long time. As you start adding oak to it and let the tannins build up in it, it's going to give you a longer aging time. But basically, Merlots are medium tannins, medium to heavy tannins. The Merlots that you grow in a cooler climate tends to give you a different nose, different taste. Cooler climate Merlots tend to start giving you aromas and taste of strawberries, red berries, plum, a little tobacco possibly. Whereas the medium climates, which you find most often in Australia and Napa Valley, you're going to get a blackberry, black plum, black cherry type aroma and taste to it. And then the hot climates, fruitcake and chocolate undertones and taste to it. Whenever you start getting Merlots growing in your warmer Southern California climate, they tend to get a little bit more of your heavier aromas and taste. The chocolate really comes out on a lot of them. I've had Merlots from Paso Robles area of California, and that those almost really giving a pretty strong chocolate or black cherry flavors. It's a medium to hot climate around there. You can, it gives you a general idea. Now, this obviously can cross over. When I say climates, it's not written in stone. I mean, you can have a hot climate that's going to give you a lighter flavor Merlot and more of a cherry berry flavor. Strawberry pops even, but overall, you can detect some of these aromas and flavors that do correlate with the areas. Merlot is a red wine when ground grape. It's used for blending quite often with Cabernet Sauvignon. And actually, Merlot has been around for a long, long time. and it was been used to blend with the Cabernet Sauvignon in when France, most notably, and in California. The Cabernet Sauvignon grape, and we'll be talking about the Cabernet Sauvignon grape in more detail in a week or two here, but the Cabernet Sauvignon grape is a very heavy, strong, powerful red grape. It's got a lot of tannins. It tends to be just a dense, dark wine. And a lot of areas and a lot of winemakers would blend a Merlot grape with it to tone it down, to soften it. Merlot is very good for softening the Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc. And because of that, Merlot is used quite often to as a blending grape. California, for many years, used it as a blending grape, and they still do. There's a lot of Merlot being used to as a blending with a lot of Cabernets in California. In the Bordeaux region of France, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Petit Verdot is and the Malbec is all blended with the Merlot to give the classic Bordeaux wines. These are the ones that the classic Chateau Menthon Rothschild, Lafite Rothschild, Chateau Margaux, all these big name Grand Cru wines of France all blend, and Merlot is one of the classic grapes that is used in the blend in your Bordeaux wines. It is planted quite extensively in France because of it. It is used a lot. But the Merlot wine, the Merlot is a varietal, and for those of you who aren't aware, varietal is the name of a grape. It's a type of a grape, and Merlot is the name of the grape. It's a very easily planted vine. It's probably one of the most planted grape varieties in the world, especially in red wines. There's thousands of acres planted in Merlot throughout the world, and it is increasing every year. Merlot is just behind the Cabernet Sauvignon as the most planted red grape in the world, so it is used really quite extensively and used for blending in as a grape in itself. The Merlot is, as far as the lineage, and that's the word I was trying to think of earlier, thank you, as far as the lineage of a Merlot, it's believed to be an offspring of a Cabernet Franc. I enjoy a Cabernet Franc. Cabernet Franc is a nice wine. It's got some nice flavors, nice taste. It's a little bit unique, a little bit different than the Cabernet Sauvignon. And I just really enjoy the Cabernet Franc. Merlot being an offspring of the Cabernet Franc. And they're thinking it might be the sibling or like a sister or brother of the Carmenere and the Cabernet Sauvignon. Carmenere being now planted almost exclusively in France. And while I'm on the subject of Carmenere, I do have to bring up something about Florida State's winery. We are down to just two cases of Carmenere left. That's it. Over 24 bottles. And once those are gone, they're gone. It's gone for good. So any of you Carmenere fans out there, we have a great, delicious Carmenere. We are almost out of it. Once it's gone, we're not getting any more. It's a 2003, and it is really quite delicious wine. So I just want to...
Yeah, that went pretty fast.
It really did, yeah. It's a good wine, it really is. So, the Merlot being a sibling, if you will, of a Carmenere and a Cabernet Sauvignon. The earliest recorded mention of the Merlot grape in the Bordeaux region was in the late 1700s, 1780s. I'm not sure exactly what date. Grape was growing in one of the regions there, and it was mentioned as called a Merlot. And Merlot, the word Merlot means young blackbird. Merle, M-E-R-L-E, is the French word for several kinds of thrushes, including blackbirds. And the name of the Merlot grape probably came to the fact that the blackbirds color, the deep dark color, and the grape itself is a very dark blue color and sort of glimmers in the light like a blackbird. For any of you who have seen blackbirds, you know how the feathers sort of glimmer. The Merlot Gleek does that also. And also, not to mention the fact that blackbirds used to raid the Merlot vineyards, and they still do quite often in France and any other place that birds are. The Merlot grape is very thin skinned and very easy for birds to pick into and to eat. So it was the name came from basically after the blackbirds of France. It was first recorded in Italy as a Bordeaux, B-O-R-D-O. It's mid-1800s, 1850s. It was then introduced into Switzerland and spread across into different areas of Europe after that in late 1800s. And in the early 1900s, or late 1800s, early 1900s, it made its way to California, but it really wasn't widely planted until the 1990s. That's when the United States started to see a big swing in Merlot plantings and Merlot grapes, and Merlot started to become very, very popular wine at that time. One of the reasons for that is because it was in the 90s that it started to be reported about the French paradox. The French paradox, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but it's a good opportunity to say a little bit about it. French paradox is named after the fact that the French people overall have a much lower incident of heart disease, strokes, clogged arteries, vascular problems, and all that than we do here in the United States. And when you start comparing diets of the French with the diets of the Americans, our diet is equal to, but not as rich in a lot of areas as the French diet is. They like their sauces, and the French are noted, you know, for their heavy sauces, and for a lot of the pasta wine, or I'm sorry, pasta dishes with the heavy sauces and the meat sauces and things, which are very high in cholesterol and different things that could cause vascular or heart problems or strokes and everything. But compared to the United States, the French incident of strokes and heart attacks and all that is a fraction of what we have here in this country. And the reason for that is, and it's been attributed to the fact that the French drink a lot of red wine. Everybody talks about the French giving the kids red wine. They do, but we have to clarify that, because actually what they do is they will, the child 4 or 5 years old will sit at the table, a parent will grab a glass, put an inch and a half of red wine in the glass, and then 6.5-7 inches of water in the glass. So you will have basically colored water, colored by wine. Mm-hmm. As the child gets older, the wine becomes more of a ratio to the water, until the time the child is 14, 15 years old, they are actually having a glass of wine with the meal. Because of this, the French drink wine from a very early age, and it's part of the diet, and it's something that they are used to and something they continue to do. It is attributed to this fact that they do drink this wine is a reason that they have a lower incidence of heart disease, strokes, vascular problems, heart attacks, any number of things to do with that. This is referred to as the French paradox. And so, and they can't find any other reason. This is noted. There's a movie out just recently, and it's about the French wines and American wines. I can't, for the life of me, I'll always forget the name of this movie. It's not Sideways. Sideways was on, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago, but this one was within the last couple of years, and it was about how the American wines stood up against the French in a blind tasting, and how for the first time Charles Krug wine in California won number one in the world in a tasting against French wines. It was the Cabernet Sauvignon grape that was used in those tastings. But the French have drank wine with their meals forever, and it does show up in the fact that their health is much better than ours. Merlot jumped up in popularity after this became reported. Actually, it was reported on 60 Minutes back in the early mid-90s. It was reported that about this French paradox. And when that happened, the Merlot became a very, very popular wine. Speaking of the movie Sideways, for any of you who have seen the movie Sideways, and it's an interesting movie. I always tell people it's not about wine. It's a chick flick. It's really about relationships, but they do have a lot of neat stuff in there about wine, and they use wine as a basis for it all. And the main character of the show hates Merlot. He talks about how bad it is, and he doesn't want any Merlot, and he cusses Merlot, and he says that, you know, it's one of the worst grapes, and Pinot Noir is the better one and all that. You know, it was just happened to be what that writer said. Please, don't be afraid of Merlot. I taught a class 6-8 months after that movie came out, and I had one of the ladies who attended the class came up to me afterward, and she said, "May I ask you a question about Merlot?" And I said, "Sure, why?" And she goes, "Is it all right to drink Merlot?" And I thought, well, that stinking movie. She told me she'd seen Sideways, and that movie scared her drinking Merlot. So don't be scared. Merlot is a very popular grape. It's a very good grape. Actually, Merlot is the number two selling wine in this country. Chardonnay being number one and Merlot number two. So it's really a very popular grape and popular wine. The viticulture, a little bit about the growth of the grapes and a little bit about the grape itself. It's always interesting to know a little bit about the grape that we're drinking the wine from. Merlot's grapes are usually very large berries compared to other ones. Now, if you've ever seen wine grapes, it's very interesting because wine grapes look different. People associate bunch grapes, the vinifera family of grapes, with what we see in the grocery stores. Whenever people picture grapes, they think of a bunch of red, black, or green grapes that we have in the grocery store. Wine grapes really only resemble those in the fact that they're bunch grapes. Wine grapes can be much, much smaller. They can be a little bit larger than those. They can be smaller bunches. They can be very large bunches. It just depends on the variety of grapes that's being grown and the type of wine that's being made from the grapes, how they might trim it back and prune it back and all that. But wine grapes really do look a lot different. And if you were to go to a vineyard and pick a wine grape, right before harvest or during the season and pop it into your mouth, you would probably end up spitting it right back out on the ground. They tend to be very, very bitter, very acidic. They don't have, they're not table grapes by any means. They don't have a real good taste to them. Those who do vineyard work all the time, the vineyard masters and even the winemakers and stuff that are growing their own grapes know what to taste and what to look for in wine grapes. And a lot of times they can go on, they can take one of those grapes, pop in their mouth, tell you if it's ready to be picked or if it should be on the vine a little bit longer just by years of experience and taste on that. But most people grabbing a wine grape off the vine will be very disappointed in the taste. It's not going to, you pick a Merlot grape, you pop in your mouth, it definitely is not going to taste like a Merlot. It's just going to taste like an old bitter grape. The color of a Merlot it's a blue-black color. It's not as dark as a Cabernet Sauvignon grape, you say, but it is a blue-black color. And it's a little bit thinner skin. Merlot grapes tend to quickly over-ripen. If you're not careful, a Merlot grape, if left on the vine too long, will reach its ripeness level and be ready to pick, and then in a few days later, it could be gone. You've passed that. So you have to be very careful with Merlot grape. If you're pushing and trying to get the optimum amount of sugar out of it, and I've talked about the sugar levels and how we pick grapes at the highest possible sugar level, if you're trying to squeeze the highest possible sugar level out of Merlot grapes, you have to be very careful because they do tend to ripen quickly and then start going bad very quickly. The skin will split, and you'll lose a lot of the grape. It's I don't want to paint the picture that it's just, you know, it's almost impossible or anything. It's not difficult, but it's just once it is ready to be picked, and it is good to pick it. And that's why weather conditions are so important in vineyards, because if you have a grape that's ready to be picked and you have a bad storm that's coming in, keeps out the vineyard for a day or two, that could be critical on certain grapes. And Merlot tends to, if not careful, be ripe and go bad quicker than some of the other grapes. Merlot sugar content tends to be a little bit higher than Cabernet Sauvignon, which tends to make it a better wine to turn into a little bit higher alcohol levels and stuff. The sugar obviously converts into alcohol. It's lower malic acid, which is the smoothness, the softness, the butteriness that you get from the cab. The cab tends to be higher, so you really do pick up the little bit of smoothness in that. The Merlot also ripens earlier than the cab, about the same time as the Zinfandel grape, earlier than the Carmenere grape. Again, I mentioned Carmenere being the Merlot's sister. It does ripen earlier than that, which, as an aside, for years in Chile, they were harvesting a Merlot and Carmenere as all Merlot. And because of the fact that the Merlot went badly so fast, they had to pick at a certain time, and the Carmenere was being picked 2 or 3 weeks early in almost every harvest, which gave a completely different taste to the Merlot and to the wines they were making, until they discovered that the Merlot and Carmenere were mixed up, and they divided them up and came out with the two different wines, two different grapes. Merlot is growing throughout the world. France has thousands of acres planted, hundreds of thousands, actually almost 300,000 acres planted in Merlot. Southwest France in the Bordeaux regions is very popular because it's used as a blend. Bordeaux has a lot of other grapes, and it's used to make not just the blends, but also Merlot by itself. The Merlot plantings and Bordeaux region run about half of all grapes. In Italy, a lot of the Merlot is planted in the Friuli wine region. This is used a lot to blend with Cabernet and Cabernet Sauvignon and Cabernet Franc. Some of the Tuscany areas also use Merlot to blend with Sangiovese. The Merlot grapes used, obviously, as I've stated, and you probably noticed, for blending just about everywhere. In Switzerland, Merlot counts for about 85% of all the wine production. It's really used quite often. In Switzerland, they make a white Merlot, which is not really white. It's pink. It's made in the same style as a blush wine, that type of a wine. It usually is a white Merlot is usually a little bit softer and sweeter, like I explained earlier. Mm-hmm. In the United States, the Merlot was, you can see, 100% varietal. We've seen in California, Merlots could range from very simple, easy red wine. In fact, critics for a while there, when Merlot first came out, was calling it the red Chardonnay, simply because it was it was just dry, but it wasn't real super dry, not a lot of tannins in it. It was using a lot of oak aging, and if you would compare the two, you can see the similarities between a Chardonnay and just a Merlot, which obviously could be compared to be called the red Chardonnay. The Merlot also can be aged in barrels. It is one of the primary components in the Meritage blends. Now, Meritage is in California, Napa, and all that. They do a blend called Meritage, And, you know, I'd love to tell you what grapes go in there. Merlot is the primary one, but I'm not sure what the other ones are right now. I know, but I've got a blank, and I don't want to start saying them. But the, and as I'm talking and trying to delay a little bit here, I'm trying to see if I can see what the Merlot and Meritage is, but I can't. Oh, well. So the Merlot is used a lot in the Meritage blends throughout California. Extensively planted in Napa. In fact, I think I mentioned last week about Merlot, or week before last, about Merlot being planted in Napa a lot. And when the second incident I'm sorry. I just got a blank there. I just got a complete blank there. The root disease, phylloxera. Phylloxera. Jeez. When phylloxera hit, second phase of phylloxera hit California, a lot of the Merlot plantings were lost, and they replanted in Cabernet. So Merlot is still the second biggest planted plant in Napa Valley, but it lost some ground after about 15 years ago to the Cabernet. California Merlots range in styles from being very heavy, rich, dark Merlots that can age for long periods of time to a lighter, plummy type Merlot with black cherry notes to it and all, to a very light, fruity Merlot with hints of strawberry, hints of coffee, just a soft, easy red berry type Merlot taste and all that. California puts out probably the biggest variety of Merlots you're going to find anywhere. And wineries do an excellent job of it no matter where you're getting Merlot. It's really a pretty easy grape to find and to enjoy and to love, actually. It's because of the styles and varieties of it. Merlots have are growing in eastern Washington a lot. It's you get away from the Seattle area, heads over the Cascades, and start going into the Central Valleys and stuff, where it tends to be warmer during the day and cool nights. And Merlot is really suited quite well for those regions. It's 1/5 of all the Washington state's production is Merlot. Mm-hmm. Which is really saying quite a bit considering how many wines are coming out of Washington. Washington Merlots usually are much deeper colored, good balanced acids, and just really a pleasant, nice example of a good Merlot. Basic rule to follow, New World Merlots tend to be a little bit fruitier. Old World Merlots tend to have more structure, more depth as far as tannins and stuff. Not for any other reason except that we tend to like a little bit fruitier Merlots here in the States. New York, Long Island, a lot of Merlot planted there now. They're expanding by leaps and bounds. It is really a very popular Merlot region. And they're coming out with some nice Merlots out there. I had an opportunity to have a Long Island Merlot not too long ago, and it was really very, very nice, very, very fruity. Had some nice characteristics to it. Not real tannic, not real dry, but it was just very, very nice, pleasant Merlot. And I'm going to have to pause for a second, take a sip of my Cabernet tonight. So.
Okay. Oh, I did. I did a Google search for the Meritage blend,
mm-hmm.
and it lists in California. It says roughly 80% Cabernet Sauvignon, 15% Merlot, and 5% Cabernet Franc.
Okay, Cabernet Franc. Okay.
And they said some wineries add small amounts of Petit Verdot.
See, the Petit Verdot
mm-hmm.
is the same grape that's used in France for the Bordeaux blends. It blended in with it. The Meritage, I wasn't sure if the Meritage included the Petit Verdot or not, though. But I guess maybe, you know, like you say, some of the wineries do. But the Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot are three of the main grapes. And the Malbec is used in
yes.
In the French wine also. So this is your classic Bordeaux blend. So thank you.
I forgot. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying, basically, Bordeaux blend, only it's not quite as much of the Petit Bordeaux in it. So, well, that's good. Thank you.
I just took a sip myself, so okay.
Did you? Oh, sorry. I was paused while you were sipping. I'm sorry. So, Virginia, another area, Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. Merlot, Oregon's Rogue Valley. I mentioned last week AVAs, American Viticulture Areas.
Mm-hmm.
Long Island is an AVA. Shenandoah Valley is an AVA. Oregon's Rogue Valley is an AVA. These are all actually American Viticulture Areas. Speaking of which, while I'm on the subject, Appalachians growing the Merlot grape, the AVAs growing the most Merlot in this country. As follows: Napa, Columbia Valley, California, which is a state appellation. Like I told you, there is, you know, AVAs within AVAs.
Mm-hmm.
America, we are classified as a country appellation. The Okanagan Valley, Paso Robles, North Fork of Long Island. And I used to tell people North Fork is, you know, used to be potato fields, now the vineyards, and they haven't, you know, cut into the Hamptons yet. I just saw a map the other day of South Fork, and I was amazed how many wineries that jumped up in the South Fork of the Long Island. It just, there's like 30 of them down there. And in less than 6 years ago, there was only about seven. I mean, it exploded. The Niagara Peninsula of upstate New York grows a lot of Merlots. An opportunity to do a Canadian Merlot a few years ago, which is really, really good. It wasn't such a cool climate up there. It didn't have a lot of acid. It really just was very soft and mellow. It was only one, and obviously Merlots do tend to be left up to the winemaker how he wants to proceed with it. But this one tended to be nice and soft. It wasn't real strong or anything. And then Washington State is another big Merlot areas. And then I found like, you know, three pages of AVAs around the country that do Merlots, which, you know, there's no reason to read all those. That's overkill. But it's Merlot is really growing quite a bit everywhere. It's just amazing how often you can find Merlots in Merlot regions. Argentina, another area that is increasing Merlot plantings. It is using the higher elevations, gives you a good acidity, water structure. New Zealand has some plantings in Merlot. I had a New Zealand Merlot not too long ago. It was nice. It was very fruity. It wasn't real heavy, sort of a greeniness to it, if you will. It wasn't, it's like the grape should have been on the vine more, but probably couldn't because of Australian or New Zealand climate. Australia planted Merlot and labeled it Merlot for many, many years, and it was actually discovered not too long ago to be a Cabernet Franc in some of the areas. So they had what they were calling Merlot blending and doing that, which was a Cabernet Franc. Cabernet Franc's a good grape. I said that earlier, but I do like a Cabernet Franc. Chile has quite a bit of Merlot for many, many years. Chile mixed up their Merlot and their Carmenere. Up until the early 1990s, did they actually discover that it was a different grape planted in all their vineyards. They thought the Merlot was part of the, or the Carmenere was a Merlot. And when we had the winemaker of Venison Esteban, our sister winery in Chile, come up, and I talked to him about this for a little bit, about the difference between a Carmenere and Merlot grape, and he said they look almost exactly alike. It was amazing how closely that the grapes look alike. Once they were informed that the Carmenere was a different grape, they started looking at it. They said the Carmenere grape leaf has a slight yellowish tinge around the edge of the leaf. And because of this, it was when they started to look, they was able to tell. Now, these are in the mature grapes. And the young ones, he said, it didn't really come up that strongly or that noticeably or that prevalent. But in the mature grapevines, the little yellowish tint was noticeable, and they could divide it up and sort them out that way. He said, but until then, they just thought it was part of the Merlot family. And so for years, Merlot was, the Merlots were actually Carmenères. They also made some mistakes, too, down there. A lot of the Sauvignon Blanc vineyards of Chile were actually Sangiovese. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll mix this up, but Sangiovese is, you know, quite a different grape than the Sauvignon Blanc, but they thought it was the same thing there. And so doing genetic studies, they found that the Merlot was, the Carmenere was actually planted with Merlot. The Carmenere, an old French variety, Merlot, also an old French variety. I think the Chilean country vineyards, wineries brought it over in the mid, early 1800s, 1830s, and stuff like that. Back when the Merlot grapes was being distributed around the world, it was brought over to Chile, and at that time, it did get mixed up and was never discovered until some genetic testing was done in the early 90s. The Carmenere has a poor resistance to phylloxera, and I mentioned phylloxera, that disease in the roots.
Right.
And so it was one reason it's not growing anywhere else in the world right now, because it can't withstand it. It doesn't take well to American rootstock. The Carmenere brings out strong peppery notes and tones, and the Merlot has the softer chocolatey labings and stuff like that. And it was when they were making it before they discovered, they were getting praises from, Chile was getting praises from around the world about how unique their Merlot was, how it contained this slight pepperiness to it, and it must be because of the soil or the rains or the cold from the mountains, and all sorts of things were attributed to the fact, not understanding that it was actually a blend of a Carmenere mixed in with that Merlot that really caused the problems. And again, the Merlot was ripening as much as 3 weeks earlier than the Carmenere, which gave the Carmenere an immature taste too. It wasn't fully developed, and so you weren't getting all the full characteristics and all that coming out of that. So, but Merlot usually is made into a soft wine. It's most Merlots are not real heavy, not real strong. Most Merlots tend to be a little bit softer, a little bit more subdued. You will find some Merlots that are very heavy, strong, tannic, walk across the room, pour themselves in their glass for you. But most of them are usually rather milder, softer, lighter Merlots. A lot of people like Merlots simply because of that. Merlot tends to give a nice nose, a nice aftertaste, usually lingers quite a bit. The three main styles of Merlot you're going to find is going to be a soft, fruity, smooth wine with very little tannins. Another style, a fruity wine with more tannin, more structure, more body, not overpowering, but you be able to taste the dryness in your mouth, the tannins in your mouth. And then third style, very strong, brawny, I guess is a good word, heavy, highly tannic style, made a lot like Cabernet Sauvignons are in that style. So you'll find these different styles in Merlot most often. These are three main styles. Some of the fruits, most often people describe fruits and smells with Merlots, black and red cherries, blackberry, blueberry, boysenberry, mulberry, plum. These are, usually you'll find these a lot in Merlots, the berries. These are very quite common descriptions for Merlot. Yeah, the summer Merlots will give you more of an earthy tone. These are more the medium-bodied ones, give you more of an earthy tone, and you'll get things like olives, cocoa, nut, bell pepper, fennel, hummus, leather, mushrooms, tobacco. And you can detect these. And again, I caution people who are not really into wines. These are very subtle. These aren't flavors or aromas that are added. These are very subtle aromas and flavors. They're not going to jump out at you. There are some that will. I've had Merlots that I sip on it, and I'm going, whoa, it's just like I've been into a chocolate bar. It was just amazing how much chocolate came out. I've had others where I smelled it, and I thought I was smelling a cup of coffee. The aromas just came out. So some will come out very strong. Green or black tea is another herbal note that you find with Merlots. Eucalyptus, laurel, mint, oregano, pine, rosemary, sage, sarsaparilla, thyme. You'll notice that there's just so many different ways that you can go with Merlot. If a Merlot spends any time in oak, and a lot of Merlot is oak age, you will see notes of caramel, chocolate, coconut, coffee bean, dill, mocha, molasses, smoke, vanilla, very common, and walnut. These are all different things from an oaked Merlot. These aren't, you won't find these so much by themselves, but a lot of Merlot is oak, and so you'll get these. But Merlot is it's a lovely grape. It's a lovely wine. It's one that has held up quite well through the years. It's one that people usually like. A lot of people don't like the people who don't like Merlot is just have never given it a chance, I don't think. I really do enjoy a Merlot. A nice Merlot with Merlot characteristics like I just described you that might jump out as a coffee nose or a chocolate nose or give you a nice chocolatey taste or a little blackcurrant taste or something. Just really interesting. Merlots tend to have a nice aftertaste that lingers with you for a while, making you want to sit down and have another. And before you know it, you finish the bottle and you can sing the praises of a Merlot. So there's our Merlot tonight.
Any particular, is there any kind of foods that go well with a Merlot that, or is it just, you know, whatever?
Again, Merlot's being a red wine, and if you're having, and whenever you talk Merlot, you're usually talking red wine. Or white Merlot is, again, like a blush type wine, so you have to do say white Merlot. But when you're going with a Merlot, red Merlot can pair well with, again, steaks, your heavier meats. It would go well with, something that's going to balance well with your roast. Lamb would go very well with Merlot. I just think a lamb and a Merlot would be an excellent combination there. Okay. If you're getting the lighter, fruitier Merlots, you can cut back on your heaviness. Start going to pasta. If you have yourself a nice red sauce that with a pasta, a light fruity Merlot would go very well with that, I think. If you have a very garlicky seasoned sauce, you can still find a Merlot that would balance well with that. Your lighter, fruitier Merlots also would match up with any of your lighter, fruitier meals. It's because Merlot is such a diversified style of wine made in so many different ways, you can probably find a Merlot that would match up for just about anything that you're trying to drink.
Wow.
Or trying to eat, I'm sorry. Yeah. And, you know, and based on that simple fact, it's just like I tell people that come into the winery about Chardonnay. Chardonnay is number one selling wine in the country simply because it matches so well with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to extend that statement on into the Merlot. Since it is the second number one selling wine in the country and the number one selling red wine in the country, it does match so well with so many things. You can find a style of that could complement just about anything you put on the table. I don't think I'd go a Merlot with anything real light. I think I might stay away from seafood if they're not heavily seasoned or something, because I think the Merlot might tend to overpower those. But if you get red sauce on anything or any type of meats or anything, I think Merlot would match it very well.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Let's see. I was finishing that up. Okay. We have, 10 minutes left. If you have any questions regarding the winery, anything about Merlot you want to add to this, you want to comment, question, give us your feedback about the show, you can give us a call right now as long as it is Thursday and about 7:50 p.m. on July the 2nd. If it's not
Eastern,
yeah, Eastern time, there you go. Oh, very good. If it's not that particular date and that particular time, then you're probably listening to the replay. So.
Yes.
You can call all you want to, but
we're not gonna answer.
We'll answer on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And the phone number to call is area code 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235. That puts you right into the switchboard here. We see that you're calling, and we can put you right on the air with us as long as it is Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern time. Or you can call the Skype phone. Our regular local number is area code 813-990-0741. 990-0741, and that is area code 813, and that actually is available 24 hours because that's a, another number here. But let's see, we have, let's see, some events. So, and, oh, let me get my notes here. I forgot. Let's see. Yeah, very informative. That's a, wow, that's amazing. I was I was trying to look up that information on the Merlot or on the not the Merlot but
Meritage.
Yeah, the Meritage. And I just it was like the my first concern is am I spelling it right? And it was the first match, you know, because sometimes Google will say, did you mean this?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Yes, but I got it on the first try. I was shocked, but it spells like it kind of sounds.
It does. It really does.
It does. Yeah. So pick that one out. So yeah, very good. The Florida Winery. For those of you who have been listening before, you may remember when we give you the hours of the Florida Winery, we say it's closed major holidays. However, I found out about 5 minutes before the show started that this coming July the 4th, the winery is actually going to be open. So you definitely,
hey,
guys, yeah.
Thank you, audience.
Yeah, all of a sudden they must have came out of the restroom. But yeah, it's open and it's going to be a full day. So 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on July the 4th. That's amazing. That's great. So
pick up some wine. I mean, there's nothing that says the 4th of July in this country like alcohol and fireworks.
That's right. Oh. If you'd like to comment on that particular statement, it's 813-996. Yeah. Yeah, if you'd like to call the Florida State's Winery, definitely do that. And you can also comment about the show. Tell them that you heard the show. I'm sure they, Ron and everybody there would love to hear about that as well. Call the winery direct at 813-996-2113. That is 813 area code 996-2113. You can also email the winery direct, and their email address is corp, C-O-R-P, at flewn.com. That's FLEWN.com. That's as in the Florida Estates Winery. And the website, beautiful website, is www.floridaestateswines.com, Florida Estates, WINES.com. Very, very nice and informative website. Tells you all about the upcoming events that they have. And speaking of events, let's see. Yes, open the 4th. I wrote that one down. And July the 11th will be the next Wine Fest. There was a Wine Fest last Saturday. It was last Saturday, right?
Last Saturday.
Okay. So, yeah, we skipped this Saturday, and so it's the following Saturday. And that'll be July 11th. That is Wine Fest at the winery, which is located 4 miles west of I-75 on State Road 52 as you get into Land O'Lakes area there. And they do wine tasting. There's markets out there, vendors out there. It's a free event. You come in, bring the kids. Just because it's wine, it doesn't mean you have to leave the kids at home or anything. It's open to everybody. And I don't have the vendors that comes out, I guess, when you do the newsletter. So
yeah, we don't know all of them yet. We're already getting responses though. We've got Dave selling his pens. We've got Betty coming out doing caricature sketches, and
nice.
We've got Tastefully Simple will be there. So we've got someone responding already. So
yeah,
already getting we've got a food vendor, hot dog vendor will be there. So
that's
so
good.
We do have some vendors already responding.
Good. So that's July 11th and 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Florida State's Winery. Again, that's 4 miles west of I-75 on State Road 52, and I believe that's exit 285.
Right.
Yeah, so you get on I-75, you take exit 285 and go west about 4 miles, and you'll see the signs there for the winery. Open pretty much every day.
7 days a week, yeah.
Yes, except major holidays. However, this holiday coming up, July 4th, they are open.
They're going
to be open. You know, a lot of places don't open. You want to check out the winery. That's a great day to check it out.
Good place to bring up family and friends as they're coming into town visiting for the 4th.
Absolutely.
Come on up to the winery and sit down and have a glass of wine. Just relax. And
yeah, and I was looking at your Facebook, because they're on Facebook also.
Yes.
You had your last posting. You had people from all over visiting the winery recently. So
we have, yeah. And if you like to become a fan on Facebook, it's just Florida State Winery on Facebook. You can look it up. Come on and join us. Be a fan. I give specials on the Facebook, only on the Facebook. So anybody local or something, and you know, we'd love to hear from you too. Facebook even. I you know, be in touch with you that way. But I try to put people where they've come from and. All that, we get quite a diverse crowd coming in. It really is exciting to see all the different places people are coming in from.
Yeah, definitely. And let's see, then you have wine classes, and that information is also on the website as far as details. But you have wine tasting classes, let's see, the topics you cover are history of wines, wine grapes. You cover diseases, the styles of glasses and uses. You do cork history and uses, oak aging. Let's see, what else is wine tasting process, how to score and rate the wines. And you
Rido, vintage, yes, right. Glasses, all sorts of stuff. We
yep.
Pass outs for you, surprises, food.
Yes, very, very excellent. And the next show, the next wine tasting class is July 18th. That is on the Saturday, July 8th.
Right.
And let's see, that goes from, what's the time on the...
2 until 6.
That's
oh, 2
right.
until 5, I'm sorry. 2 until 5.
2 until 5. Okay, so we have, 3 hours there. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very good. And you get a lot there during the wine class. So definitely check it out. Definitely contact the winery for more information. Visit their website. Their website has all kinds of information and photos. So you can see what everything looks like. You can also sign up for the free newsletter, which is put out. It's about what, twice a month, or is it
twice a month? Yeah.
Twice a month, you get the free newsletter. Tells you everything about the happenings, and there's also recipes on there and some tips. It's very informative, very enjoyable, and I get them, and I've saved, I don't know how many I have right now, but...
Thank you.
I mean, you know, the recipes, I mean, there's all kinds of things here.
Yeah. Recipes are pretty simple, too. I try to keep them simple. I don't want to get something too involved, you know,
yeah.
Something you can throw together real fast. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, save them, and you can keep them as little notes, like a... let's see, this was March. Anyway, but anyway, it covers everything. And also they tell you about the, what am I looking at? There's the donations that you have. You have a donation jar there. And
yes, thank you.
Go to, so.
We have a tip jar. Everyone that works at the winery has agreed that we will not accept tips. All tips go to a tip jar. And we choose a different charity each month to send those tips to. This past month, June, it was the Disabled American Veterans. We raised $68.56 for them. I got a check out to them today, as a matter of fact. We've chosen American Breast Cancer Society, Diabetes Association, Alzheimer's. Thank you. March of Dimes this month. So, yes, if you come in, all tips do go to the charity. We do appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. All right, we'll be back. Let's see, we have about, it says a minute, but I think they just said 90 seconds. But we have just a few seconds left. We'll be back next Thursday, and I'm not sure what the topic is yet, but we'll...
Maybe we'll talk about the Cabernet Sauvignon grape then.
Okay.
We hit on that a little bit today, talking about the Merlot. We'll go ahead and follow up with the Cabernet Sauvignon next week.
Okay, sounds good. And we'll see everybody... we're down to a minute. Okay. So this is going to get cut. That's fine. At least we got the announcements out and the location, everything. Just give them a call for more information. Let them know you heard the show. And stop in. That'd be even better. And, you know, take a look around. It's a great place
to
visit.
Thank you for tuning in tonight.
Yeah, excellent. And we'll see y'all next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see y'all. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Ron.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@floon.com. That's CORP@FLEWN.com.